On the front it says devotions on deeper things. And underneath that it says 1 Timothy 4:15. It says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. And so I hope that you are meditating. Now this course is based on a verse which is in your cover sheet here that you put in your notebook. Towards the middle it says on the front, 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So there are deep things of God, and even some of these surface subjects we hope to go deeper about. Now, today you have lesson one in your hands, and it looks like this, and it's lesson one is, why do I exist? Why do I exist? And so we're going to try to answer that question, hopefully in a deeper way than maybe you've ever considered before. Why do you exist? It'd be a shame, wouldn't it, to go through life and existence not knowing why you're here. Wouldn't that be a shame? And yet there's probably no exaggeration, there's probably billions of people who will do that, who will be born, live, die, and never have one clue on why you exist. Well, we're going to see in the Bible three reasons tonight when we get to it. But first of all, before we get to the notes on lesson one, why do I exist? There's going to be 40 lessons. I'm not saying we're going to do this 40 consecutive weeks. There may be times where we switch courses and come back to it next year or something. I don't know. Depends on the Lord. But every one is different in ways. They kind of build on each other, but every lesson is different, so it's not going to be like you're hopefully not bored week after week with the same thing. But for now, for starters, turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 in your New Testament, the book of Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Colossians 1 and verse number 16, which says this, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, get way ahead of yourself, and at the bottom, that is your memory verse for this week, but it's really just a short part of the verse, and it says, all things were created by him and for him. So our subject tonight is existence. Existence. Why do I exist? Now, before we get to the Bible, I want to go to biology. And I understand from texts that I received today that there are children watching tonight at home who could not be with us tonight and are on the live stream, and others will probably be watching too, so I'm going to be a little bit sensitive here and try to choose my words carefully. But I want to talk about biology, and I want to go back in my life. I remember 11th grade biology class at Orchard Park High School, Mrs. Manos. She was about this big, Hispanic. Nice lady, wonderful lady. I remember her great, great teacher. And she taught 11th grade biology. And she taught evolution, those things, and she kind of prefaced it with a disclaimer. She's saying, I'm not saying this is true or not, but this is what's in the curriculum and I have to teach. And at least she was that sensitive to give us a warning. But we were going through biology. Now, biology, of course, is the study of living things. And so the field is so vast that nobody has ever mastered biology as a whole. But I can remember something that just wowed me, and it's stayed with me for my whole life, and you might not know this, but it had to do with human reproduction and the chances of our existence. And the way God designed it, human reproduction. Of course, it takes a male seed and a female egg to produce a human being. And we believe that upon the fertilization of that egg, life begins. And if anyone ever asks me, they hardly ever do, but if anyone asks me, when do you think life begins? I always say, upon fertilization. Sometimes people say, I believe life begins at conception, but if you've ever studied scientists and seen them argue over the word conception, I think there's a lot less argument when you say fertilization. When the male seed fertilizes the egg, the ovum, in the female, the whole thing is just absolutely miraculous. And I can never forget learning that in biology class and studying it out. The fact that you exist tonight is a 1 in 300 million chance, depending on what you study. Now, I've looked this up. I've been studying this out again this week. Some websites will say 1 out of 40 million. Some will say 1 out of 500 million. The most accepted number is 1 out of 300 million. And I don't think anyone but God knows for sure. That is the number of the male seed that had the potential of reaching the egg and fertilizing it in your mother. The male seed is the smallest cell in the human body. The female seed, the egg, is the largest in the body. There were approximately 300 million seeds that had the potential of reaching the egg. Only 200 on average made it. They swim there. The reason they swim there is because there is a fragrance there that attracts them. Scientists cannot explain this fragrance. I think the whole thing is a miracle. And I think next week's lesson, which will be different, but we'll show you some Bible verses that where God had to superintend the whole thing and chose the seed that was you. The question comes up, if it had been another seed, would it still have been me, but with a different personality? Absolutely not. You would not have existed. You existed because the one seed with your information in it, your DNA, smallest seed in the body, reached the egg. 200 eggs on average, 200 cells on average encircle the egg. The male seeds, 200 of them, encircle it. One gets in. That one was you. It was you. If it had been any other one, you would not have existed. I would not have existed. I wanted to share that at the beginning here so we would understand what an amazing miracle it is that we exist. I cannot tell you how many times since then, and the more and more as I get older, I have fallen to my knees, raised my hands to God and said this, Lord, I just want to thank you for letting me exist. Now, you might not like the way you look, but you had the chance to exist. You might not like the size of your nose, but you had the chance to exist. You might not like the family you live in, but you had the chance to exist. You might not like your ears, your hair, maybe you wish you were more beautiful, but you had the chance to exist. It is staggering the numbers of the chance that you had to exist. Someone might only live for 10 years, but they had the chance to exist. They might only live for 20 years, but they had the chance to exist. They might live for 80 or 90 years, but they had the chance to exist. It's just amazing. It is absolutely amazing. I think we'll see Bible verses next week that show that if we believe them by faith, it show that God superintended over this and chose you. You, and I don't mean to sound humanistic here at all, proud at all, but you are a miracle. You're a miracle that you even exist. And I don't care what kind of a life I've had hard times, bad times, difficult times, I've had good times. But I can't tell you, as I get older and older and older, how many times I just drive down the road and see trees blooming, buds, maize, beautiful, and I just say, God, thank you that I got to exist, to see this, to enjoy this, and then to come to know your Son as my Savior, be born again, be able to serve you somewhat. Thank you that I even had a chance to exist. Even once in a while, two get in and you have either identical or fraternal twins, but they're totally different people. So they might look similar. We used to have twins in our church, Matthew and Ryan. Some of you remember them, the Melody Boys. I never did get their names right. Never got their names right. But they're two different people. Two different personalities, two different directions in their life and everything. We used to have triplets in our church. ABC, remember them? Amy, Brenda, and Carrie. You wouldn't even know they were sisters if you looked at them. They were so radically different the way they looked. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not. It's called biology. And we love real science. We love real science. It makes us worship God. Real science. We're not afraid of real science. We love it. It makes us worship the Lord. But I'm hoping that from this night on, if you never have before, that you'll say, Lord, thank you for just letting me have the chance to exist. Which brings us to our lesson, why do I exist? Why did God do this right here? Why did he do that? Why did he let me exist? And so, let's go to our notes. We have a Bible passage, Colossians 1 and verse 16. I read it earlier. I'm going to read it again. We're going to try to give you three reasons here. And that notebook you have is like a diary. Do not let anyone else read it. And if you have others in your family who have notebooks, don't read their notebooks. Because there's going to be some tough questions that you're going to have to fill out in your own words, which I hope you will be brutally honest and humble about as we go from lesson to lesson. Not so much tonight. But there's going to be times when you're going to be asked to write in there what you think about this, even maybe some of the struggles you're having, maybe even with God. And so treat that like a diary. And we'll try to keep extra copies of all these lessons around so that if you miss one or something, you can pick it up. We'll get a file folder or something around here with extra. And you can use this. Listen, parents, you could use this for devotions at home. It can be simple enough or it can be deep enough, depending on what you want. Wouldn't it be nice if your kids or grandkids learn really early in life why they exist? There's people depressed. People sometimes commit suicide because they could never figure out the answer to this question. So as I read this, let's try to think while I'm reading about the first reason why, given in the Bible, for why we exist, why I exist. It says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Now here's our memory verse. All things were created by him and for him. Just say that much out loud with me right now. Ready? All things were created by him and for him. One more time. All things were created by him and for him. So I noticed some questions now on your notes. It says discussion, but we're not going to do that, okay? We're going to use the lecture method here. But according to this verse, the first question is, how much did God create? Well, as I read it again, you go ahead and yell out the answer. All things were created by him and for him. Okay, all things. How much did God create? The answer is all things, including the earth. By the way, I was thinking about the earth, and Brother Kelly really got me thinking about some things I haven't thought much about, but our solar system, the earth and everything. Yeah, I was praising God, worshiping God recently. We have four, my wife and I, we have four little oriental trees, or ornamental trees, on our property. We have a pretty small property. It's only 40 feet frontage. And it goes back 285 feet. We have four ornamental trees, or small trees, on our property. Do you know I have more trees? We have more trees on our property than there are trees in the universe. You can't find a tree anywhere in the universe. We got four in my yard. All things were made by him. God has given us this planet. He has spoiled us by letting us live on this planet. He has absolutely spoiled us. If you'll keep your eyes open, he's spoiled us. My wife and I purposely went to all 50 states while we were young, because we've been to a lot of places where we see these old people trying to visit the national parks like this, you know. And we said, we're not. Somehow God gave us the wisdom to do that while we were young. Been to all 50 states. I've been to 11 countries. God has spoiled the human race. He made all of this for us. But all things were created by him and for him, which individually means you. You were made for him. So that's the answer to the second question. Why did he create all things? Two words. For him. For him. Write that down. For him. So we got a question. Now these questions are up to you. You answer them however you want to. I know the right answers, but this is your diary. So who is life about? The first box says us. The second box says him. All things were made, were created by him and for him. For him. All right? So all things, what is life about? I checked the box that says him. I don't know what you're going to do. I checked the box. I was created, Art Cole. All right? One out of 300 million chance or whatever it was. He made me, chose me, superintended over this miracle for him. For him. We were created for God. I'm sorry, we were created by God and for him. Now, I've kind of highlighted this on my notes, the next statement. Until we understand this, life will never make sense. And I'm not saying until you believe what I'm saying. I'm saying until you personally understand this, until your children personally understand this, life will never make sense. But boy, I mean, light comes in your life like a flood when you do understand this. God made us. First question at the top, how much did God create? All things. Why did he create all things? For him. Who is life about? It's about him. It's about him. We were created by God and for God. Until we understand this, life will never make sense. Life will never make sense until you understand this. Not just get it in your head, but understand it. God made me miraculously for him. For him. Let's turn to our next verse, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. This is in the back of your Bible. It's the last book. This is such a great verse that sheds light on this subject. Our question tonight is, why do I exist? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Again, according to this verse, how much did God create? Same words. All things. You see it there in verse 11? Revelation 4:11. How much did God create? All things. He created all things. Okay, he didn't start an evolutionary process and then walk away, and by natural selection, these things invented other things. No, he created all things. He created you. He created me. All right. And then it tells us a second reason here now why he made them. It says, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So our question, second question is, would this include you? Well, the answer is obviously yes. How much did God create? All things. Did this include you? Yes. Why were you created according to this verse? For his pleasure. For his pleasure. Now, this is where it gets deep, because I have no idea what God's pleasure is for you. I have a dear cousin. Her husband just died last week. Two of her children have lived their lives in a wheelchair. He had dementia for 2 years. Her one daughter died when she was 23, maybe. Chrissy. What a hard life Carol has had. But boy, what a radiation of the love of God and the grace of God in her life. Somehow it's brought God pleasure. And it's brought God glory. I could have never lifted the load she's lifted in her life. She lives down here in Olean. I'd like you to pray for her. I think it's on the prayer list. Her husband's with the Lord now. I've seen some people that have borne burdens gracefully, went through things that just unimaginable. And somehow it brought God pleasure. And God's will was done. Lives are affected. I believe she's got 5 other siblings and God's working in their lives that probably wouldn't. She being one of the youngest in the family, they've seen Christ in her. They've seen Christ in her. And she has been an evangelistic tool in God's hands to help that family. It's unexplainable sometimes what God chooses as his pleasure, not yours. We don't demand God. We don't say, okay, God, you keep me healthy, you keep me wealthy, you keep my family safe. And no, you don't demand God. We pray to God with reverence and respect. We don't give him demands. And whatever his pleasure is, in his time. God made us, number one, for him, number two, for his pleasure. Now go to Isaiah 43, our last verse tonight, our last verse, Isaiah 43 and verse number 7. Isaiah 43 and verse 7. My grandkids gave me a head cold again. No, I don't know what it was. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I created them for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Now, here we see another insight into why we exist. Number one, for him. Number two, for his pleasure. Number three, for his what? For his glory. What does the word glory mean? What does the word glory mean? It's the Hebrew word doxa, D-O-X-A. We get the doxology from it. Remember that? Some of you used to sing the doxology. Churches used to sing the doxology. Remember that? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And we'd sing that every week. It's a great song, really. We ought to sing it. For his glory. The word glory means a view or an opinion. Glory means to reflect a good opinion of God. It is the reflection of our Father in our lives. We need to understand that, especially you men. It says we're made in the image and the glory of God. God made us to reflect him to the human race. You are supposed to be a mirror. You are supposed to be an image of God to the human race. Why? First of all, God is a spirit. God the Father is a spirit. No one's ever seen him. God the Son became a man. God was manifest in the flesh, right? Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached on the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. But he's not here anymore. Nobody's seen Jesus since John on the Isle of Patmos. He was the last one. So how are they going to see God? He has chosen for you to exist by the miracle of fertilization, conception, whatever you want to call it, a 1 in 300 million chance that you even exist, so that you could reflect to everybody around you God. We're made for his glory. We call that being a testimony. We call that being a good testimony. Every one of you moms and dads, God made you to be a reflection of him to your children. I remember the one guy that went to Sunday school, a little boy went to Sunday school, and on the way home, he was riding in the car on the way home, and his dad said to the little boy, "So what'd you learn in Sunday school today?" He said, "We learned about God." "Oh, good. What'd you learn about God?" "We learned about God, that he cares about us, and he loves us, and he provides for us, and he keeps us safe. And when we're bad, he spanks us, and he corrects us, because he wants us to be good." And all of a sudden, the boy stopped. And he looked at his father and said, "Dad, are you God?" That's how every child should be. Now the father's going to say, "No, I'm not God, but I'm trying to reflect God." I am to be the glory of God, the direct reflection of God to the human race. That's why it matters how we behave. That's how why it matters how we dress. That's how why it matters what type of language we use and what we involve ourselves and our time doing and not doing and what we're involved in and what we're separated from. Because we need to reflect God. That's why we exist. That's why we exist. Why were we created? To reflect God, to be a good testimony, to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ to those you live with, those in your neighborhood, those you work with, those you go to school with. Conclusion. We can debate the purpose of life by speculation, which is human reasoning, or by revelation, which is divine manifestation. We can know our purpose. What's divine manifestation today? The Word of God, the Bible. The Bible. And we looked at the Bible tonight. Which should we choose? Now here's again where you make your own choice. If you want to debate the purpose of life by human speculation, then check that box. The problem is you're going to get a million opinions on why we exist. But if you check the box on revelation, you're going to get three. You're going to come to this conclusion: I exist for Him. I exist for His pleasure. God, whatever you choose, for me, whatever somehow brings you pleasure, and I exist for His glory. I exist so that my little time on earth here, I can show my little corner of the world what God is like. What God is like to those that are watching me. So here's a thought. Now the word thought, T-H-O-T, is of course an abbreviation of thought, but it refers to meditation. And the thought, as we close tonight's lesson, is this: spending a life trying to find yourself leads to frustration and emptiness. Now, if you don't believe that, there's a book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes. Read that sometimes. Where that man Solomon had an opportunity no other human has. He could have anything he wanted. And 36 times in that short book, he uses the word vanity to describe the lifestyle. Where he had women, he had music, he had wisdom, he had men singers and women singers and all kinds of food. And he was so rich. Some people think that with equivalency, there's never been a man richer than him. And 36 times in that book, he uses the word vanity because he had everything the world could possibly give a human. You never will. I never will. And that word vanity means emptiness. It means vapor. It means vapor. You know what a vapor is? Just here and gone. Like James said in James 4:14, what is your life? It is but a vapor. He says all these vanities are just a vapor. And then he uses the phrase vexation of spirit in that book 9 times. Your spirit is your emotions. Vexation means depression. He said, God allowed me to have everything any man could ever imagine. And 36 times he called it vanity, vapor, emptiness, and depression. Depressing. Depressing. And what was his conclusion? Ecclesiastes 12, what, 12 and 3? Fear God. Keep his commandments. That's the whole duty, man. He says, let me hear. He says, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Just fear God and keep his commandments. God's going to bring every work into judgment anyway, so you might as well prepare for the inevitable. And in so doing, fulfill your existence. Spending a life trying to find yourself leads to frustration and emptiness. Spending a life enjoying God will show you why he created you in the first place. And it's the only way. Boy, I'd hate to go through life and never learn that. But praise the Lord, I learned. And many of you have too. Many of you have not. You maybe have never been confronted with this truth tonight. We tried to go into our existence a little deeper maybe than we've thought about it before tonight. So our assignment at the bottom, of course, is to memorize that portion of Scripture. Get your kids to memorize it too and your grandkids. All things were created by him and for him. And then notice there's a little assignment here that maybe you would do for the next few days or the next week. Try to say this to yourself as often as you can. And it's kind of like the synopsis of this lesson. Focusing on myself will never reveal my life's purpose. Focusing on myself will never reveal my life's purpose. So what is your, God, why the miracle? If you just get this tonight, the biology and the Bible. And we should walk out of church saying, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for our existence. We're here tonight. We exist. We exist in this time. You've chosen us to be alive in this time. And you've superintended over everything, even in our mother's womb. And so I pray, O Holy Spirit of God, work in me that I would even believe this more. And all of us that are here tonight, and anyone who's watching, and anyone who ever listens in the future, that we were made for you. For your pleasure, whatever that is, going to be. You're not going to even ask us. And for your glory, you put us here to reflect your image to those we touch lives with. So Lord, help us. Oh God, we pray. Bless this course as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen.